All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Chavzayin Amud Bet. Just to review quickly, we did the Mishnah at the end of yesterday's daf, and the Mishnah gave us the two areas of halacha that we're going to be discussing now, which are the issues of chutz limkomo and chutz lizmano. We've already seen up to now in the Masechta, the Mishnah just gives us the information that the Masechta took for granted until this point in time, because it assumed you knew the Mishnah, which is that there are two areas that are problematic with machshavot, chutz limkomo and chutz lizmano, and that is b'shtei achilot ha-katuv midaber. There are two types of achila, achilat adam and achilat mizbeach. And if you have in mind about one of those two issues, to either eat them outside of the zman, meaning the person themselves will eat that which they are entitled to eat outside of the zman or outside of the place where they are permitted to do so, or with regards to items that will be achilat mizbeach, that will go on the mizbeach, if you have in mind to eat them outside of the time or outside of the place that they are appropriate, that is when you have a machshava of either chutz limkomo or chutz lizmano. In addition, there is an area which Rashi calls achilat mizbeach. Other Rishonim say that it directed out of the pasuk, which is zrikat adam. And when you do the zrikat adam on the mizbeach, if you have in mind to do that zrikat adam outside of the place, outside of the time that is appropriate, that's also subject to problems of machshavet chutz limkomo and machshavet chutz lizmano. And you have to have those machshavot during one of the avodat adam, so one of the four avodot that we've spoken about. During those avodot, you have to have a machshava about these achilot in order to generate the psul of machshavet chutz limkomo or machshavet chutz lizmano. The Mishnah gives us the details of each of these items, and now the Gemara is going to discuss one of those details first, and then back up and ask us what's the source for this concept of makshevet chutz lizman and makshevet chutz lemakom. Here the Gemara begins, sabrua, we assume. So you know, as soon as the Gemara says we assume, that you can obviously argue on this premise, which we'll find that there are other Amoraim who argue on this premise. But the first statement of the Gemara is, or aliyah kaliyah domi. The skin that is found around the tail has the same din as the tail. So first of all, the Mishnah itself mentioned with regards to pigul, with regards to machshevet chutz lizmano and machshevet chutz limkomo, that if a person has in mind lechol kazayit me'or haliyah, to eat a kazayit worth of the tail skin, then that is part of the problems of machshevet chutz limkomo and chutz lizmano. The question is, why is that true? What is unique about the or haliyah that the Mishnah specifically delineated it, as opposed to any other part of the animal? What is unique about it? So the Gemara's first assumption is because or aliyah kaliyah domi, that the skin around the tail has the same status as the tail. The way Rashi phrases it over here is that it means that it has a din of basar. So ama chashiv le basar linyan mitzvot haktara nami basaru. So if you classify it as being basar, the aliyah, the tail, is part of the flesh of the animal, so too the or, the skin that sits on top of the tail, will have the same din as basar. And that means that in korbanot, where you eat the basar, that will be basar that is eaten. In korbanot, where that basar goes on the mizbeach, there will also be a requirement to place the or aliyah on the mizbeach. So for instance, there will be in a korban olah, the flesh goes on the mizbeach, the hide is given to the kohanim. So if you classify the or aliyah kaliyah like the flesh, that means it's going on the mizbeach, it's not going to the kohanim. Korban shlamim, at least with regards to a keves, when it comes to the sheep in the category of shlamim, as opposed to the goats, over there the fats of the tail go on the mizbeach. So if fats of the tail go on the mizbeach, then the or haliyah will also go on the mizbeach with regards to the korban shlamim. So that's the assumption here, that the problem is that or aliyah kaliyah dami, v'ha kamechashe ma'achilat mizbeach la'adam. But now you have a problem, because the way that the Mishnah formulates it is, the person had in mind to eat the or haliyah outside of the time, or outside of the place that they were permitted. That's achilat adam. The way that you're describing it now, it is achilat mizbeach. Because for the olah, it's going to go on the mizbeach. For the shlamim, the tail will go on the mizbeach. So these are items that are going to go on the mizbeach, that are ra'ui le mizbeach. So you had in mind, even though achilat mizbeach is relevant by it, but you had in mind instead le'achol adam, that you had a person who wanted to eat it. That's what the Gemara asks. You're having machshava about achilat mizbeach, and thinking about achilat adam instead. Had you thought about putting it on the mizbeach outside of the time allotted, or outside of the place that's allotted, I understand. That's a machshevet of chutz mano, chutzim kamo, about achilat mizbeach. But now, not only are you having a machshevet of chutz mano, chutzim kamo, you're having it about achilat adam. You say, I'm going to eat that which would have gone on the mizbeach, I'm going to eat outside of its time. That which would have gone on the mizbeach, I'm going to eat outside of its place. So, Amar Shmuel, Ha'amani, who's the author of this position, Rabbi Eliezer, he, Damar, Machashvin, Machilat Mizbeach, Machilat Adam, Michalat Adam, Machilat Mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer says the delineation of Achilat Adam and Achilat Mizbeach is fuzzy, which is that, you're right, you need Achilat Adam or Achilat Mizbeach to be Chayav, but you can interchange them. You can speak about Achilat Mizbeach as being Achilat Adam, or Achilat Adam being Achilat Mizbeach. So you think about eating something that normally goes on the Mizbeach outside of the place, outside of the time that's normally brought, that also will be considered to be Makshevet Chutz L'Zmano or Makshevet Chutz L'Mkomo, and vice versa. If you think about something that is normally Achilat Adam and you're just saying you're going to put on the Mizbeach outside the time or place, that also is considered Makshevet Chutz L'Zmano and Chutz L'Mkomo. You're allowed to interchange between the Achilot. Yes, you do require it to be Achilat Adam or Achilat Mizbeach, but you don't have to be true to the Achilah. You can think about Achilat Mizbeach about Achilat Adam, and you can think about Achilat Adam for Achilat Mizbeach. All right, the Tanan, because we have a Mishnah further on, Ashochetet HaZevach, someone that does Shechitat HaZevach, where you can have Makshevet Pigul, Lechol Davar She'ein Darko Lechol, Laktir Davar She'ein Lador Laktir Kasher. If you had in mind a Makshava to eat something that's not normally eaten, or to put on the Mizbeach, something that is not normally put on the Mizbeach, Kasher, that doesn't affect the Korban, because your Machshava is meaningless. You're thinking about, as Rashi says, Davar She'ein Darko Laktir, Basar, the Basar, which is something that you normally don't put on the Mizbeach. If you have in mind to put that on the Mizbeach, it's irrelevant. As Rashi notes over here, things that you normally are Maktir on the Mizbeach is Emurim, things that you normally eat are Basar, and vice versa. You don't usually eat the Emurim, and you don't usually put the Basar on the Mizbeach. And therefore, if you had in mind to be Maktir the Basar Machar, you're going to put the Basar on the Mizbeach tomorrow, or you have in mind to eat the Emurim tomorrow, it doesn't affect the Korban, because you're having in mind about an Achilah that's not relevant. The Achilat Adam doesn't affect Emurim, and the Achilat Mizbeach doesn't affect the Basar. Rabbi Lezer, Posel. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer says it is Pasul, and Rabbi Eliezer is obviously arguing on that premise of the Chachamim. It says you can't interchange Achilat Adam and Achilat Mizbeach, and vice versa. And that is how we're going to explain the Mishnah. We're going to say Rabbi Eliezer is the author of our Mishnah over here, and that you can interchange between Achilat Adam and Achilat Mizbeach. If you call the Or Haliyah Basar, and it should have ended up on the Mizbeach, despite the fact that it ended up on the Mizbeach, you had a Makshava to eat it outside of the Zman, that's still going to be problematic. But my ukimto. So now you're establishing that our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer. Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the Mishnah that's coming up on tomorrow's daf? Zeaklau. This is the principle. Kol ha-shochet, va-mikabel, va-molich, va-zorek, lechol davar shedarko lechol. Ulaktir davar shedarko lehaktir. So it says there, anybody who does a shkita, kabbalah, halacha, or zrika, the four avodot adam, and you have in mind to eat something that normally is eaten, or to be makriv, something that's normally mukrav, darbayar should darko lechol in, sounds like from that Mishnah, only something that's normally eaten, that's when you have that makshava. She'ein darko lechol, lo, if it's something that's not normally eaten, like the emurim, then that wouldn't be a makshava that is posel. Atan rabbonon. That part of the Mishnah seems to follow the view of the rabbonon. So you have a Mishnah here that you're claiming is following Rabbi Lazar's view. The next Mishnah, which is on the Amud Bet of tomorrow's daf, which is the end of this Mishnah, you're saying has to follow the position of the Rabbanan. Because there it creates a clear delineation between Haktara and Achilah. It says you can't cross over between them. Reisha Rabbi Eliezer v'Sefer Rabbanan. So you're going to say that the Mishnah is bifurcated in its attribution. The first Mishnah here is attributed to Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah on Chafter Amud Bet is attributed to the Rabbanan. Amalei, in. That's right. That's exactly the way that we're going to learn it. That it is a bifurcated attribution in this Mishnah. So this is the view of Shmuel, which is the explanation of our Mishnah is number one, Or Aliyah, Kaliyah Domi. Number two, the author of the Mishnah, the attribution of the Mishnah, is going to be to Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Huna Amar, Or Aliyah, Lav Gal Yodomi. You saw the Gemara started out, Savrua. We would assume, well now there's somebody who doesn't assume that, and that is Rav Huna, who says that the skin, the hide, that is by the tail, does not have the same din as the tail. Meaning that's not basar. Amarova, my time with Rav Huna. What's the reasoning behind Rav Huna's position? Because it says in the Pasuk, Chobo Ha'aliyah. When it speaks about what you have to put up the keves on the Mizbeach, it says Chobo Ha'aliyah, Velo Or Ha'aliyah. It says the fats of the tail coming to exclude the Or Ha'aliyah, the skin or the hide that is there by the Aliyah. They're separate entities. There's the fats that are there, and that there's the Or. There is the skin or the hide that is there. The Pasuk itself in Vayikra Gimel is a pasuk that references to shlamim. And so there are those that point out that Rav Huna's position here that Or Aliyah is not Ke Aliyah, might you mean uniquely associated with a shlamim and not a general principle. And that'll become more evident as we move through the Gemara that we're going to find that there's a Mishnah in Chulin that actually says that Or Aliyah has a din of basar. If that's the case, then Rav Huna is unlikely to be arguing on that Mishnah. And so what you have to say is that Rav Huna agrees with that Mishnah, but over here, by the Shlamim, he has a specific miut that tells you that when it comes to the Chelbo Ha'aliyah, the fats of the tail, they are uniquely placed on the Mizbeach, but the skin or the hide that surrounds it is not placed on the Mizbeach. Because it says, V'yikriv Mizbeach HaShlamim Yishel HaShem, Chelbo Ha'aliyah Tmima Lumat Ha'itza Yisirena, You see here, it's speaking about a shlamim. So it seems that his din is uniquely associated with a shlamim, and not a broader principle that he's trying to establish here with regards to this matter. Rav Chista Amar, here's a third opinion, the olam or haliyah kal yodomi. He agrees with Shmuel that the hide of the tail has the same din as the tail, meaning it's negdar ki basar. But then, how do you explain our Mishnah? If you don't want to give the attribution of authorship to Rabbi Eliezer, then how do you explain the Mishnah? We're dealing with, in the Mishnah, a case where we're dealing with the tail skin of a goat. And we noted this earlier in the Masechta, that there is a distinction in Shlamim between a keves and a gdi. Tzon are put on the Mizbeach for a Shlamim, so are bakar. Within the world of tzon, it splits between two categories, that of sheep and that of goats. The difference between them is that by the sheep, the chelbo aliyah, the fats of the tail go on the mizbeach, and according to Rav Chista, that means also the hide of the tail will go on the mizbeach, because it has the same din as the fats of the tail. On the other hand, by the case of gedi, there's no requirement that the fats of the tail go on the mizbeach. The fats of the tail actually are eaten or taken by the Baalim. If that's the case, then the Or will go along with it. Just like the Basar of the tail doesn't go on the Mizbeach, so too the Basar, the hide there that's considered to be Basar, will not go on the Mizbeach, but rather be eaten. Then you can explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if someone has in mind to eat the hide of the tail outside of its time, then that is Chutz Lizmano. Because the eating of the tail is Achilat Adam, because we're speaking about a Gedi, where the basar belongs to the Adam and not to the Mizbeah. And that's the explanation of the Mishnah. And now the Gemara is going to go and say, we have three opinions here. Why did they dismiss the other opinions? Kulu k'shmuel amre, Rav Huna Rav Chista didn't agree to Shmuel's position. Reisha Rabbi Eliezer v'sefer Rabbanan lo mukme. They don't want to create a bifurcated attribution in the Mishnah and say half the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, half the Mishnah is Rabbanan. That is a poor way or a poor choice for setting up attribution in a Mishnah, and therefore they reject the view of Shmuel. Rav Huna lo amrei, the others don't agree with Rav Huna, meaning Shmuel and Rav Chista don't agree with Rav Huna, or Aliyah kal yodomi. They fundamentally disagree with the premise of Rav Huna that you can separate the hide of the tail from the tail itself. The hide of the tail has the same din as the tail, and therefore Aliyah kal yodomi. That's what they believe, and they're not going to subscribe to Rav Huna, who believes otherwise. Even though Rav Huna has a pasuk to prove it, nevertheless, they don't think that that's the case. Mostly because the hide of the tail of the animal is very soft. And since it's soft, it has the same status as the basar that's there, rather than the normal hide, which is much rougher, and something that it's not edible. Rav Chista, my time alo amre. So then, why don't they agree with Rav Chista? So Shmuel and Rav Huna, why don't they accept Rav Chista's premise over here? My Kamash Malan, they say he's not teaching us anything new. If you're teaching us Or Aliyah, Kal Yodomi, you're teaching us that the hide of the tail has the same din as the tail, Tanina, it's an explicit Mishnah in Chulin. Ve'elu she'orotehem tibsara. These are areas of an animal, or types of animals, where the skin, the hide, has the same din as the basar. And the examples that are brought in the Mishnah are, or shetachat halya. One of the examples is the skin, the hide that is found under the tail. So you see that we already have a Mishnah in Chulin that explicitly gives you that information. So first of all, that's what I noted before, within the position of Rav Huna, who says, Or Aliyah, Lav Kal Yadomi, doesn't argue on this Mishnah. He doesn't disagree that with regards to Tumat Uchlim, which is what this Mishnah is speaking about, that is true. The question is, does it have broader application outside of Tumat Uchlim? Does it have application by Kodoshim? And what Rav Huna tells you is, I have a pasuk that tells you, Chelbo Aliyah, that only the fats are considered by the tail, not the hide of the tail. And again, there are those that want to narrow that just to Shlamim, because that's where it's mentioned, as opposed to other areas, and we'll see maybe more evidence to that fact in the upcoming Gemara. But you have a Mishnah in Chulin that says that regards to Tumat Ochlin. Tumat Ochlin means that if an object is Ochel, it is considered to be a food item, then it can be Mikabel Tumah like Ochlin. It also can convey Tumah forward. In general, there's a Machloket with regards to the acceptance of Tumah with regards to Ochlin. Everybody agrees that Tumat Ochlim, to convey Tumah, has to be a minimum of a Kabetza. Question is, to accept Tumah, does it have to be a Kabetza size? Or can it be even a Koshu to accept Tumah? But underlying all those halachot is that the item has to be considered to be Ochel. So now, what the Mishnah is giving there is a list of items that are Ochel. One of those items is the hide or the tail. So now, if Rav Chista is coming along to teach us this din, that the hide of the tail is considered to be basar, I don't need the Mishnah here to teach me that. That I would know from the Mishnah in Chulin. Interestingly enough, the Gemara does not ask this question on Shmuel. Shmuel also said the same thing. Or Aliyah, Kal Yodomi. So then why is Shmuel not questioned by this same Mishnah in Chulin? So the Bali Tosfot suggests over here that Shmuel has an additional chiddush in his position. Shmuel's position had two chiddushim. One is that Or Aliyah, Kal Yodomi. Number two is that the Mishnah is attributed to Rabbi Eliezer. That's a big chiddush, to say that this Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, because we know the next Mishnah is attributed to the Rabbanan. So then you have a bifurcated authorship attribution here. That already is a big enough chiddush. And so what the Bali Tos would say is, once you have one chiddush, then you can add in other things that you know from another Mishnah. So Shmuel's chiddush is that this is Rabbi Eliezer. On top of that, let me mention to you that, Or Aliyah Kal Yodomi. The hide of the tail is like the tail. Oh, you know that from the Mishnah Chulin? I know that. But I'm already telling you one thing, I may as well throw in another thing along with you to give you that information. But for Rav Chista, that's the only chiddush of the Mishnah. The only chiddush of the Mishnah is that the tail skin hide is like the tail basar. That isn't sufficient reason to bring a whole new Mishnah and mention it when it's mentioned in the Mishnah in Chulin. Rav Chista, it's trich. Rav Chista says, even with the Mishnah Chulin, I still need the Mishnah here. I would have thought, based on the Mishnah in Chulin, Hani Milei the Inyan Tuma. That is true with regards to Tuma, Dirokich Mitztaref. Because since it is soft, it is Mitztaref. Meaning that the definition for Achila or Tumat Ochlim is just the fact that it is soft. But of a Hocha, by the case of Kodeshim, there is another principle at play. That principle is found in Parshat Korach, after the rebellion of Korach, over there is an enumeration of the matnot kihuna that are granted to the Kohanim. Amongst those matnot kihuna are kodoshim. The pasuk there says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Aaron, v'anini nei netati lecha et mishmeret shumatai lechol kodshei b'nei Yisrael, lechon netatim lemoshcha, ulevanecha lecha kolam." And the Gemara focuses on the word lemoshcha, which comes from Moshech, which means to anoint. The Targum, if you look in the Unklus over there, is, L'cha yihab tinun lirbu. Lirbu means to be great. So why does someone get anointed? Because they're in a position of power, a position of greatness. It is uplifting or upgrading the person to a stature. And that, the Gemara Darshan, you can see over here, V'hachayma l'moshka l'gidula, that when it comes to the Kohanim, they have to act like they are milachim, as if they are kings, because they are anointed, appointed to be Kohanim, and that means, k'shderach she'malachim ochlim, the way that kings eat. V'lo avide milachim da'ach le'hochi. And since kings don't eat the area of the tail, emalo, so I would have said, maybe it doesn't have a din of basar over here, you would think also over here that it would not have a din of achilat adam, kamash malan, that it does have a din of basar over here, and that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. In Ochanami, from the Mishnah Kulin, you would know that it is basar. You would know that the hide of the tail is the same as the basar of the tail, or the fats of the tail. But by kodoshim, there's additional requirement, is that you eat it like a king, or you eat like a king. And so what Rav Chista comes to say is that the Mishnah is giving you this chiddush, that something can be ochel, yet not be eaten by the Kohanim, which means that the Kohanim don't eat it because it's not the way that kings eat it, or there's no mitzvah of achilat kodashim for the Kohanim here, because it's not an area that's eaten by the kings. Doesn't mean that it's not called basar. Doesn't mean that it's still not ra'uy l'achilat adam. It just means that it's not subsumed in the mitzvah of achilat kodashim for the Kohanim, because l'mashcha, the gedula. Now, what's interesting about that is that that is a unique item, because most korbanot, that may not be relevant. Bayin olah, that's not relevant, because the basar goes on the mizbeach. So there's no din of l'mashcha there. By kodshim kalim, that area goes to the balim, goes to the owners of the korban, and they have no din of l'mashcha. This chiddush is really about kodshei kodashim that are eaten, like chatat, where that area goes to the Kohanim. Our Mishnah is teaching you a chiddush that that area still has a din of achilat adam. It still is considered to be basar, despite the fact that it's not normally eaten by the Kohanim. So you would have thought, because the Kohanim don't eat it, or it's not in their purview of what they eat, then you can't have a machshevet chutz lizmano, chutz lemekomo, for achilat adam. Kamash Malan is, yes you can. Now the Kamash Malan could be one of two things. Even though the Melachim don't eat it, it's still considered to be basar, and the Kohanim do eat it as part of the mitzvah. Or the Kamash Malan, and the way that we phrased it is, that yes, it's considered to be basar, it's considered to be achilah, it's just not subsumed under the mitzvah of the Kohanim, because they have a special din of l'moshcha. But they can still eat it if they want to eat it. It still will be deemed to be basar, even though it's not subsumed under that mitzvah. Meidavei. So now we bring from a Tosefta, Hashochet et Ha'ola. Person who shechs an Ola, and has a machshava during Shechita, Laktir kezayit mi'or shetachar aliyah chutz limkomo, that he in mind to do aktara, do put on a mizbeach outside of the location where you're supposed to do it. Pasul vein bo karet. That's machshavah chutz limkomo. So it's pasul without karet. Chutz lizmano. If he had in mind to do this outside of the time frame, then it's pigul v'chayvin alav karet. Then it's going to be machshavah chutz lizmano pigul, and you'll be chayav on karet if you eat that korban. We said before, for an olah, if you're deemed to be basar, you go on the mizbeach. If you're deemed to be or, you're deemed to be a hide, then you give it to the Kohanim. So it's clear here that the Tosefta thinks that it's going on the mizbeach, and it has to do with achilat mizbeach. And if you have in mind that achilat mizbeach, to do it outside the location or time where you're supposed to, then that's machshevet chutz limkamo, machshevet chutz lizmano. Elazar ben Yehuda ish avilim, omer mishum Rabbi Yaakov, V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar ikus omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. So you have either in the name of Rabbi Yaakov or the name of Rabbi Shimon, echad or beit haprasot, that not only is this true by the hide that is below the tail, but it's also true of the hide that is around the hooves, v'behema daka, in the lighter animals. So it's not true by an ox or a par, it's true by tzon, it's true by flock animals, sheep and goats. V'chad or harosh shel egel harach, and the skin on a calf above its head, which is also very soft. It's an egel for its first year of life. After that, it hardens over time. V'chad or shetachar aliyah, and similarly, the hide that is under the tail. V'chol shemanu chachamim gabi tuma, v'elo yushu toritim kibsaram, and anything else which the chachamim enumerated by tuma, that these are considered to be uchlim, to include also the other items that are mentioned in that Mishnah and Chulin, where we say that their hides are like their basar, lavi. The way Rashi reads it, so he says, yesh lecha lavi ord etzel kodoshim, mikol ha-shinuyim sham. What's not enumerated in this list in regards to kodoshim that is in the list in the Mishnah in Chulin? Lavi or shela boshet, to include the skin or hide around the private parts of a female animal. So those are also soft, and therefore would be deemed to be basar. The Balei Tosafot then speak about that there are other items that are in that list that maybe should have been included. And then he gives reasons why they're not mentioned here, whereas the Beit HaBoshet is mentioned. Kotzlim Komol, if you have a machshavah to be makrib this item as an olah outside of the time, outside the place, posol v'imbo karet. If you have to do it chutz lizmano, then it's pigol v'chayalirin alav karet. Now what the Gemara is medayik over here is, ola in, aval zevach lo. The Tosefta, in bringing that example, only mentions an ola, and says that this is uniquely associated with an ola, but not with a zevach, not with a shlamim. So from that Tosefta, you would see that or aliyah is considered to be like the aliyah when it comes to a ola. But when it comes to a shlamim, that would not be the case, and therefore you would have to say that or aliyah is not like the aliyah, and that would be a question both on Shmuel and Rav Chista, who say or aliyah k'aliyah domi, that say that the or aliyah has the same status of the aliyah. So the Gemara says bishlama l'ravuna, Ravuna could deal with this. Hainu diktani ola. That's why he writes ola. What's interesting over here, and this is what the Sfat Emet points out, is that for Ravuna, this should also be a problem. Ravuna says that the skin or the hide of an aliyah is not like the aliyah. So here you have an explicit Tosefta that says it is like the aliyah. It might only be for an olah, but it is like an aliyah. So then why doesn't the Gemara question Ravuna from this Tosefta? So that's where the Sfat Emet says that the din of Ravuna is uniquely associated with the Shlamim. Because he brings a miut from the Shlamim, which is Chelbo Aliyah. That the fats of the tail are what you have to go on the Mizbeach, not the hide of the tail. But that means that in other areas where you do not have that miut, that fundamentally he agrees with the other two opinions, that Or Aliyah, Kealiyah Domi. The only place he doesn't have it is by Shlamim. If that's the case, he can explain the Tosefta. He says, you're right, by an Olah, Or Aliyah, Kealiyah Domi. Shlamim, no. And then this is actually a perfect setup for him, because the Tosefta says, Olah, yes, Shlamim, no. And then that's the Sfat Emet, says it's exactly what the position of Ravuna holds. But then we have a question on the position of Shmuel and Rav Chista, as to how could it be that the Braita is telling you that by Olah it is yes, by a Shlamim that it's not, or Aliyah Kealiyah Domi. El Rav Chista, my area, Detani Olah, Litnei Zevach. For Rav Chista, that's problematic. Why doesn't he write Zevach? Amar Lecha Rav Chista, Iba Yiteima, Be'aliyah Shel Gedi. Chista says, no problem. It mentions Olah and not Shlamim because the Tosefta was speaking about a goat. And by a goat, the area of the Shlamim, the tail, does not go on the Mizbeach. Therefore, there's nothing to speak about because it's not relevant. It's only by a chemist that is Shlamim that's relevant. So over here, we speak about a Gedi. It's only relevant by an Olah, that part goes on the Mizbeach. For Shlamim, that's eaten by the Balim. So that's why it's not mentioned in the Braita. And he holds like the Rabbonan that you can't have a Machshavah from Haktara to Achila or Achilat Haktara. Or the other solution for him is to amend the Tosefta to read not Olah, but rather Zebach. What's interesting to note here is that the Bai Tosefot note, the Tema, if you look up in the Tosefta, it actually does say Zebach. It doesn't say Olah, it actually does say Zebach. So he says it's interesting that our quote of the Tosefta here has it as Olah, yet the Tosefta, if you look it up, really has the word Zebach there. That might be a result of the Gemara, which is that in the end, when the Gemara says to answer on behalf of Rav Chista, how do you deal with this Tosefta? He says, Tnei Zevach. Actually put in the word Zevach. So that might have influenced the Girsa of the Tosefta to be Zevach in the end. And then it becomes a circular logic. He's asking, oh, why does it say Zevach there and Olah here? Maybe it says Zevach there because of the conclusion of the Gemara here that they wanted to switch Olah to Zevach. Now, how come Shmuel doesn't have to answer the question as to why it's a problem? Shmuel also holds Or Aliyah Ke'aliyah Domi. Probably just will point out the Shmuel lo makshe. For Shmuel, they don't ask the question. Lama they mitnei olah, they mitnei zevach. To leitani zevach, chavam mukmini leik Rabbi Eliezer. He says because if you wrote zevach over there, we would have set it up like Rabbi Eliezer. So that's why for Shmuel, they don't ask the question of why doesn't he write Zebach and wrote Olah? Because if you wrote Zebach, then you would end up having to explain it like Rabbi Eliezer, who allows for crossover machshavot, and not like the Chachamim. Therefore, the Tosefta stayed with Olah in order to maintain that it was authored by the Chachamim. If it did write Zebach, then you would switch the attribution, and therefore it stuck to Olah in order to have it follow the position of the Chachamim. So now the Gemara goes to the basics of Pigol and Chutz Limkomo. Pasul v'ein bo karet. Minahani mile. How do you know that when it comes to a makshava of Chutz Limkomo, that the Korban is pasul, but you don't get karet? Amar Shmuel, trei krai ktive. There are two psukim, and those two psukim have influence over our understanding here. The two psukim are found, one in Parshat Tzav, a pasuk that we're familiar with because we quoted it numerous times. That is in Vayikra Zayin, pasuk Yud Ched. It says, "V'im ha'achol yechel mibsar zevach shlamav beyom ha'shelishi." The pasuk before says, "V'anotar," that which is left over to the third day. And then Yud Ched says, if you eat from that basar that was left over to the third day, lo yiratzeh, the korban is no longer accepted. Hamakrib oto, lo yechashev lo, it will not be considered for him. Pigul yeh, it will be pigul. But nefesh, or chelet mimenu, someone who consumes it, avona tisa. They will carry the burden of such a sin, which the Gemara will explain to us today what that means, that it means that there's a chiyuv karet. If you go to the beginning of Parshat Kiddushim, you also have psukim that seem to be identical, speaking about a shlamim and notar, and it says there, beyom zibchachem yachel, eat on the day that you bring him imacharat, the next day, but tohar yom hashlishi be'ish yisareik, that which is left over the third day you burn. V'im achol yachel besh yom hashlishi, if you eat from it on the third day, pigol hu lo yiratzeh, it's considered to be pigol, and it's an unacceptable, the korban is invalid. Ve'uchlav, those gensumet avono yisa, who carry the burden of that sin, get kodesh Hashem chilel, they profane the korban, v'nichreta nefeshayi me'amel, there is a chiyuv karet. And now the Gemara has an assumption here, something that Rashi has mentioned a number of times in the Masechta, that the premise or the understanding of these pesukim is influenced by the factor that the ikar kapara of a korban comes from the zrikat hadam. Once the dam reaches the mizbeach and you've done the kaparat hadam, the korban is accepted and you've discharged your obligation. Anything that happens after that point is what's called sheirei mitzvah, something that we want you to do lechatchila, but it's not me'akev the korban. That means that retroactively, there's no way to undermine or invalidate a korban. So the problem in these psukim is, both the psukim in Parshat Tzav and in Parshat Kedoshim say that there are leftovers. And the leftovers lasted past the time that you're allowed to eat the shlamim, which is for day one, the night afterwards, and then day two, that's when you're permitted to eat it. If you leave it until day three, you have to burn it. And then it says, if you eat it on day three, then the korban is invalidated. Well, how could that be? After the fact, you're eating notar from the korban, that invalidates the korban? That's an impossibility. That is what precipitates the drasha here, that we're not speaking about regular notar, we're speaking about a makshava of notar, because that makshava takes place prior to the kaparat adam. It happens in one of the avodot that lead up to the kaparat adam being placed on the mizbeach. So during that process, you could create a soul that would invalidate the korban, and that is the background to what is happening over here. The pasuk in Parshat Tzav, which is called either the Arika, the long pasuk, or the pasuk that's found in Tzav, and then the pasuk in Kiddushim, which is known as the short pasuk, because it's a shorter pasuk, it's a smaller pasuk. So now the Gemara is going to deal with these two pasukim, which is Shmuel says, Trei Krai Ktive. We have two pasukim. What are these psukim? Amar Rabba. That's based on the pasuk now that's found in Parshat Tzav. He's going to darshan shlitshi. When it says in the pasuk bayom hashlishi lo yiratzeh, that's a reference to chutz lizmano, a machshava that is about doing achila chol yeachel, which is shtei achilot akatuv midaber tzmimet tu achilot achila dam achalit mizbeach. That you have a machshava of chutz lizmano. And that's considered to be chutz lizmano lo yiratzeh. And then the pasuk continues, that pigul is chutz limkomo. That's a reference to chutz limkomo. But nefesh, ochelet mimenu, mimenu is a preposition, the mem in front of it is from it. in the singular form means from it, not from both of them, but from one of them, echad velo shnayim. And then the pasuk finishes off, which is a nefesh ochelet mimenu avona tisa. And we'll learn later on that means karet. And so only one of the two get karet. So what Rabbah introduces us to is that the pasuk can be explained as containing two problems in it, and that is the problem of a yom hashlishi and the problem of a piguliyah. And explaining the problem of Yom HaShlishi is a machshava of Chutz L'Zmano, Shlishi. And the Pigul is a machshava of Chutz L'Mkomo, which is what I always know for you. Pigul in the Torah means Chutz L'Mkomo. Pigul in Chazal means Chutz L'Zmano. But he says about that, that only one of those two get karet, because it says, V'anefesh ochelet mimenu. So from it, from amongst them. So one of those two, Avonot Tisa, will get the punishment of karet. Zeu Chutz L'Zmano. And that is to tell you that Chutz L'Zmano gets karet. Ulemeute Chutz L'Mkomo. Tell you that Chutz L'Mkomo does not get karet. So what Rabbah is doing is bringing the source for the fact that Chutz L'Zmano and Chutz L'Mkomo are both found in that pasuk. But karet is only applicable to Chutz L'Zmano. It says, Ve'ema, why don't you say, by nefesh ochelet mimenu, zeu Chutz L'Mkomo. It says only one of the two get karet. Say that Chutz L'Mkomo is the one that gets the karet. Ulemeute Chutz L'Zmano. And say Chutz L'Zmano doesn't get karet. How do you know which to include and which one to exclude? It says, Mitzavra Chutz L'Zmano Adif de Potach Be. It makes sense to say that it's referencing to Chutz L'Zmano because the puzzle begins with it. But Yom HaShlishi is found in the puzzle before Piguliyah. It says, Adar Abba, Chutz L'Mkomo Adif de Samech Le. It makes more sense to include Chutz L'Mkomo as being the karet because it's the one that is adjacent or juxtaposed in the puzzle to the Chiyuv karet. So how do you know which one gets the chiyuv karet and which one doesn't? We understand your drasha that one of the two get it, but you can't tell me which one of those two get it. So then how do you get to the conclusion that it's Chutz L'Zmano that gets the karet and not Chutz L'Mkomo? The Gemara way in today's daf will come back and give an answer, but we don't have enough information to answer for Rabbah now. The Gemara later on will answer for Rabbah using other information. Ella Amar Abaye. So Abaye offers an alternative view here. The other of Yitzchak Amar Abdime, Amar Rav. Samich adetoni tano. We're relying on what the Tana tells us. Kishuomer shlishi bepashat kiddushim to you. When it mentions the word shlishi in kiddushim, she ain't tamalomar. Why do you need that pasuk at all? Shekvar ne'amar imachol yachel mi bazar zevach shlamava yom shlishi. You already have the pasuk in Sav. The pasuk in Sav tells you that there's a problem on yom shlishi. Why do you need the yom shlishi that is found in pashat kiddushim? And again, I read you both the psukim, and the same problem exists in both of these psukim is that you can't be speaking about real notar. Because real notar is after the fact, and it can't invalidate the korban. And both in the pasuk in Kedoshim, it says, lo yeretzeh, and it says the same thing in the pasuk in Pashat Sav, lo yeretzeh. So lo yeretzeh has to be something that happens before Kabarat Adam. So the Gemara points out that you have this repetition of Yom HaShlishi. Im enu inyan lechutz lizmano. Since it's not relevant to Chutz L'Zmano, because you have two psukim telling you the same din of Machshevet Chutz L'Zmano, we'll say, well, if it's not for Chutz L'Zmano, let's use it for Chutz L'Mkomo. So we'll assume that the pasuk in Parshat Tzav is only speaking about Chutz L'Zmano. Chutz L'Mkomo is learned from the pasuk in Parshat Kiddushim. And in that way, when it says, the one who eats it, Abono Tisa, from that we will learn that the karet is only associated with Chutz L'Zmano, because that's the only thing mentioned in that pasuk in Parshat Tzav. But then you have a problem, because in Parshat Kedoshim, it actually explicitly mentions karet. In Parshat Tzav, we're going to see it only comes from a Gzeira Shava, but in Parshat Kedoshim, the next pasuk is, Elchlav Abono Yisak, Yet Kodesh Hashem Chilel, V'nich Merta Nefesh Ha'im, Me'a Me'a. So there's a chiyuv karet that is associated with whatever was mentioned before, im ha'achol yachel b'yom ha'shlishi pigul hul lo yiratzeh. So that would sound like if you're going to now use that to interpret it as being Chutz L'Mkomo, that should indicate that Chutz L'Mkomo also has a din of karet. To that, Abaye says, umi et rachmana gami notar. By the case of notar, the pasuk says, v'achlav abono isa, the one who eats it will carry that burden, demutei Chutz L'Mkomo, to exclude the case of Chutz L'Mkomo. Because what the Gemara is saying is, you can't leave the Pashtuta Pasuk. The Pashtuta Pasuk is speaking about Notar. You left it over to the third day. I have a problem with that because of the Lo Yiratzeh that's found in the Pasuk. For that reason, I say it must be speaking about a Machshava Chutz L'Zmano. I don't need a Machshava Chutz L'Zmano, so I'm going to turn it to a Machshava Chutz L'Mkomo. That's all but means of Drasha. The Pashtuta Pasuk is that it is speaking about real notar. And then the puzzle it says, that gets karet. Notar gets karet, but chutzlim kamod does not get karet. That's the miut that's found in the pasuk over here. So the Gemara is going to ask the question, veima, why don't you use the puzzle this way? Which again, comes subsequent to the pasuk that you're claiming is chutzlim kamod. Ze chutzlim kamod. Ulemiute notar mi karet. And to say that notar doesn't get karet. How do you know whether it's the pshata pasuk that the next pasuk is speaking about, or it is the drasha pasuk that the next pasuk is speaking about? Next question says, this gets karet. So you're saying, well, this gets karet, nothing else gets karet. So then, how do you know what the this is that gets karet? Is it the this of the previous pasuk, which is the pashtura pasuk you're speaking about, is notar? Or is the this in the previous pasuk, the drasha, lo yiretze, which tells you it's about chutzlim komo? How do you know which of the two it is? Where it says, mistavra, notar havale l'ukme b'karet, l'migmar avon avon l'chutz lizmano, d'domile b'zav. Makes more sense to attribute that pasuk to be speaking about the pshata pasuk, and say there's a chiyuv karet associated with notar, and not chutzlim komo, because in that way you can have the gzeira shova of avon avon. This is what I was telling you before. The pasuk in Tzav says, v'nefesh ochelet mimenu avona tisa, and the pasuk in Parsha Kedoshim says, so the word avono appears here in Kedoshim, and there it says explicitly karet. The word avon appears in Parshat Tzav Avona Tisa. We're saying it's a gzeir shav, the teacher, just like there's karet in Parshat Kedoshim, so too there is karet in Parshat Tzav. Now what the Gemara says, if you set up the pasuk about karet in Parshat Kedoshim as speaking about real notar, then now you understand why there's a gzeir shava from Kedoshim, the karet there, which is speaking about notar, to the avon that is mentioned in Parshat Tzav, which is speaking about machshemet chutz lizmano. So there you have overlap between the two of them. You're talking about notar, which is really chutz lizmano, and then Parshat Tzav is talking about chutz lizmano by machshemet chutz lizmano. And it makes sense then to make a gzeir shava of avono avono. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara, which is, want to do that because of the commonality between chutz lizmano and notar, so it makes sense to say that that is what it's speaking about. It says, adraba, chutz limkamo avalei lukmei bikaret, lemigmar avon avon chutz lizmano d'damilei b'migdash. It's because there are more commonalities between makshevet chutz limkamo and makshevet chutz lizmano than there are between makshevet chutz lizmano to notar. Between notar, which is real leftovers past the time eating it, versus machshevet chutz lizmano, the two areas that are common to them are zav, zman, that they have an overlap, that they're both dealing with time issues, and bet is that they both apply by a bama. There's a restriction of machshevet chutz lizmano by a bama, and there's also a restriction of notar, leaving it over past the time that you're allowed to eat the korban, or eating it after that time. Both of those are relevant by a bama. That is not true by chutz limkamo. By chutz limkamo, it's obviously not dealing with time issue, it's a place issue. And number two is, it's not relevant by abama. As we've noted many times, by abama ktana, there are no boundaries around the abama. So you can't speak about chutz limkamo because you can eat it anywhere. Since you can put up the abama anywhere, you can eat it anywhere. There's no din of makom there. So that is what brings commonality between notar and makshevet chutz lizmano. The Gemara says, wait a minute, there's more commonality between Makshevet Chutz Limkamo and Makshevet Chutz Lizmano, because they have Mikdash. Number one, they both have a din in Mem, Makshava. They're both Sulim that come from Makshava and not from Maaseh. Tar is not about Makshava, it's about Maaseh. Kuf, they both have a din with regards to Ketzat, meaning that you don't have to have a Makshava about the whole item. You can have a Makshava about a Kazayit from the item, and a Makshevet of a Kazayit about the item is Pusel the whole item. So even though your makshava is only about a portion of it, it affects the entire item. That's true by chutz lizmano and chutz limkamo. That is not true by notar. By notar, whatever is left over, it doesn't affect the other areas or the other basar. Dalit is dam. And that is because both of them are nifsalim avodat adam. Both the chutz limkamo and chutz lizmano are dinim that apply to the avodat adam, which is the four avodot leading up to the zrikat adam. That's where you can have that machshova. Notar has nothing to do with that. Notar is leftovers when you're past the time, and that post the matno dam, Because these both machshavot are only applicable during the time of the dam. And then shin is ubshneim ne'amar shlishi. Both of them are learned out of the pasuk within the word shlishi. The way that Abai is learning that it's learned out of the shlishi in Tzav is telling you about chutz lizmano, and the shlishi in Parshat Kedoshim is inu inyan lizmano tenei inyan makomo, and therefore the shlishi is a reference to chutz limkomo, makshev chutz limkomo in Parshat Kedoshim. The Gemara says that in of itself wouldn't have been a reason to assume that the pasuk that's being about in Karet in Parshat Kedoshim is definitely speaking about notar and not chutz limkomo, because notar is much more similar to makshev chutz lizmano, where we have gzer shava of avon avon. That's just not true. It is true that they have those commonalities between them, but you have many more overlap between chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo. So if you explain the pasuk in Kedoshim to be referring to karet by chutz limkomo and not notar, and then have avono be gzer shava, that would make sense because you have five overlaps between chutz limkomo and chutz lizmano. Makshev chutz limkomo, makshev chutz lizmano. Versus notar and chutz lizmano, we only have two overlaps. So that can't be the reasoning over here. So I'm going to have to try something else. But before we do that, it's just an interesting note in Rashi. Rashi says over here that we're trying to create commonality between the karet that is found in Kedoshim and the pasuk that is found in Tzav to say that we learn how to field karet from this pasuk to that pasuk, because there was an alternative. There is competition for that limud. The Gemara later on Kufyud Gimel will say, why don't you learn out a gzer shava of avon, avon, mitumat basar? That when it comes to the tzitz, it says about the tzitz that it is mechaper al avon kodoshim, that it's meratzeh on the avon kodoshim, and that avon there is speaking about tumat basar. So why don't you have a gzer shava of avon, avon, and teach you that it's like tumat basar? The difference would be, if you have a gzer shava from the pasuk in Tzav, speaking about makshev and chutz lizmano, to Tumat Basar, the restriction of Tumat Basar is just a lav. And that would mean that the violation in Tzav is only a lav. That means the Makshev Chutz Lizmano would be a lav. The other option is to say Avon Avon to the Pasuk in Kedoshim. The Pasuk in Kedoshim, where it's speaking about a Chiyuv Karet, that would mean that now it's a Chiyuv Karet. And so what Rashi says, it's important to have something in Parshat Kedoshim which is more similar to that which is found in Tzav, in order to bias us to make the Gzeir Shava from the Avon of Parshat Tzav to the Avon of Parshat Kedoshim, and not make the Gzeir Shava from the Avon in Tzav to the Avon in Shmot Chavtet, in Parshat Tzitzaveh, by the Tzitz, where it says that the Avon of the Tzitz is Menatzeh on the Avon of Tumat Basar, Avon of Kodoshim, which is Tumat Basar, which is only a lav. So Rashi says that we want to influence the direction of the Gzeir Shava. So therefore, we're going to try to put something in there, in this pasuk in Kedoshim, that is very similar to that which is found in Tzav. So the Gemara first thought it should be notar, because that makes it more similar, which by two items. But I said, if you want to make it more similar, Machshev Chutz Limkomo is even more similar. It has five overlaps. But either way, you accomplish or create this commonality between the din that's found in Kedoshim and the din that's found in Tzav, that will push us to then say that it's Chayav Karet, and not a chiyuv lav, that which is found in Tzav. That's the way Rashi learns it. The Baalei Tosafot are flabbergasted by that, and they say, Peirush Zeh Teima Gedola, Demas Svara Hizu. Where do you ever come up with a logic like this? It's a backwards logic. You're trying to force the Gzeir Shava in a direction because of the interpretation of the Pasuk. You're trying to say, I have a Gzeir Shava, and I don't know which way to go, and now I want to influence which way it goes, so I'm going to try to find things that are more common in the other Pasuk. That makes it sound like you don't have the Gzeir Shava, and now we're going to try to figure out how to influence the outcome of the Gzeir Shava. The Baalei Tosafot say it's just the opposite. We know the Gzeir Shava. We know that the Gzeir Shava, Aloch Lemosh Mitzinai, is between the Pasuk in Tzav and the Pasuk in Kedoshim. Once we know that that is the Gzeir Shava, we want to have the Gzeir Shava be something that matches. It makes sense then to put in something that matches. It's not what precipitates the Gzeir Shava, but rather it is a result of the Gzeir Shava. Since we know there is a Gzeir Shava, it makes sense to put in something in Kedoshim that is similar to that which is found in Tzav. Now that's interesting because that might be connected to a broader view about how Gzeirot Shavot work. The Baalei Tosafot clearly are saying that the Gzeir Shava was given Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Now once we have the Gzeir Shava, we want to know what the Pesukim are speaking about. Then you have to make determinations based on the connection between these two psukim based on the Gzeres Shavah. So after we have the Gzeres Shavah, now we're trying to figure out what the meaning of the Gzeres Shavah is in influencing the psukim that are there. The other hand, Rashi seems to say, we know some sort of Gzeres Shavah exists over here, we're just not sure which direction it's going in. We have a Gzeres Shavah Avon, but we don't know if it goes to that Avon or to this Avon. And that is now being trying to be determined by the nature or the context of the psukim. So Rashi sees that concept of Gzeres Shavah being that we know about the Gzeres Shavah, we just don't know where it's going or which direction it's going in. Talmud says, no, we even know the Gzeres Shavah fully, where it's going to, what it's connected to. But then we use that, or from that, we can influence the psukim. So maybe related to a more fundamental view as to what's the concept of Gzeres Shavah, and the idea that Gzeres Shavah only comes through Mesorah. Now we have the third attempt at explaining why Chutz L'Mekomah doesn't have Karet. El Amar Rav Yochanan. Tane Zivdei Bar Levi. This Braita is now going to come the linchpin in explaining this. We just have a Braita from Zivdei Bar Levi. Acha Kodesh Kodesh. You have the word or Gzeres Shavah of Kodesh. Tivocha et Kodesh Hashem Chilel. It says here in the Pasuk in Parshat Kedoshim, Bochla Bavono Isa, Kit Kodesh Hashem Chilel, V'nechreta Nefesh Ha'im Me'amel. V'chtiv, it says in Parshat Tetzaveh, V'im Yivater Mibsara Miluim, if there's anything left over, Min Alechem Ashter Boker, V'saraftet Anotar Ba'ish, Lo Ye'achel Ki Kodesh Ho. That leftovers will be burnt because it is Kodesh. So now you have a Gzeres Shavah of Kodesh, Kodesh. Malalan notar. Just like the Kodesh that is mentioned in Shmot Chavtet, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, is speaking about notar. Afkan, so too the Pasuk in Kedoshim that says, Et Kodesh Hashem Chilel, that word Kodesh is also a reference to notar. Umiyet Rachmana, and then the Pasuk by Parsha Kedoshim, has a miut in it, ve'ochlav avono isa. This is Rashi notes over here. It's a miut, the word ochlav, because it could have written va'ochel, the one who eats it. If you just had written one who eats it, then you would have thought anything that's relevant then gets karet. The fact that it says ve'ochlav, the one who eats that item, that is a miut telling you that only that item and not the other item gets karet. Mute chutz limkomo mi karet. To tell you that there's a chutz l'mekomo karet. It says, "My chesed the dekra rika bechutz l'zmano ushlishi the pasha kedoshim to you chutz l'mekomo." How do you know that the pasuk in tzav and the word shlishi there is machshevet chutz l'zmano, and then the word shlishi in pasha kedoshim is a reference to chutz l'mekomo? Oh, you're using the same word to darshan it. Ipochana. Why don't you flip it around and say the other way around? That the Pasuk in Parshat Tzav is referencing the Chutz L'Mekomo, and the Pasuk in Parshat Kedoshim is a reference to Chutz L'Zmano, and if you do that, then you're going to have the Notar have Karet, and the Miut will tell you that Chutz L'Zmano doesn't get Karet, and then Parshat Tzav is the Pasuk of Chutz L'Mekomo, Avon Avon teaches you there's Karet by Chutz L'Mekomo. The premise of the Gemara's question is very difficult, and the Baalei Tosafot already note this when they say, why would you ever think to do this? If both psukim are speaking about chutz l'zmano, Bayom HaShlishi is speaking about chutz l'zmano, and it's makshevet chutz l'zmano. The only reason we say the pasuk in Parshat Kedoshim is speaking about chutz l'mekomo is because einu inyan. We already know pigul or chutz l'zmano from the pasuk in Tzav. So then in Kedoshim we're going to say we don't need it for that. We're going to use it for tenei ol inyan chutz l'mekomo. How would you ever start out to say the pasuk in Tzav is chutz l'mekomo and the pasuk in Kedoshim is chutz l'zmano? How would you know to make the shlishi and tzav into chutz l'mekomo if you haven't met a pasuk that already tells you about chutz l'zmano? It's a minenu inyan. So Tosfot is perplexed by the Gemara's question to flip it over here, because logically you would need chutz l'zmano to come before the chutz l'mekomo. But you have to say that there's conceptually this idea of ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. It could be that chutz l'zmano is found somewhere else. The order in which it's found in psukim is not so important. As long as we have chutz l'zmano somewhere else, then the Yom HaShlishi can be Chutz L'Mekomo. Which one is which? That's not clear from the Psukim. That's what the Gemara says, but it makes sense. He says, Mistavra, makes more sense, Arika b'Chutz L'Zmano, makes more sense to say that the longer Pasuk, the one in Parshat Tzav, is speaking about Machshev b'Chutz L'Zmano, Gemara Avon Avon mitotar, the Dami Le'Pizav. Because we already established that the Karet in Kedoshim is speaking about Notar, and then you have a Gzeres Shavah of Avon Avon teaching you Karet Parshat Tzav. It makes sense to say that they are speaking about similar items. Because then the notar, which has a chiyuv karet in it, and the chutzlis machshev, chutzlis meno, and tzav, also will have a karet in it, because they have a commonality between them of zav, zman, and bama. Adarabo, arika b'chutzlim komo, u'shlishit ikadoshim tiyu b'chutzlis meno, mishum d'dami le samchi le, v'kamimayit le. Makes more sense to do it the other way around. Makes more sense to say in Parsha Kedoshim, it's speaking about Machshev and Chutz Lizmano, and then speaking about Notar. It keeps them together in order to be topically relevant, or the subject matter to be relevant. So you have Chutz Lizmano in the beginning, and then you have Notar at the end. They're common because they have Zav between them. Then they have Notar and Chutz Lizmano have no overlap between them. They have nothing in common between them. So that makes sense to put it in the Pasuk in Zav far away. And then it would turn out that you have Avon Avon teaching you Karet by Chutz Lizmano. And then you have the miut of Avon Chalav, Avon No Issa. In Kedoshim telling you Notar gets Karet, but not Machshev and Chutz Lizmano. So if you're trying to tell me that the commonality between Notar and Machshev and Chutz Lizmano is what drives you to say that the Pasuk in Tzav is Chutz Lizmano, because then you have Avon Avon, I could logically argue the opposite, that it makes more sense for that to be Chutz Lizmano, and then have the Machshev and Chutz Lizmano be in Kedoshim, next to Notar, which is found in those psukim over there. The third attempt fails. Elo Omer Rava. So now on the fourth time is always the charm. Rava has the answer as to why there's a difference between Chutz Lizmano and Chutz Lizmano. Kulu Mikra Rika Hachion. Everything is learnt out of the pasuk in Parshat Tzav. Dichtiv. And now he's going to darshan the pasuk all the way along, which is Hachol Yeachel. The beginning of the pasuk, which we mentioned a number of times, is Me'achol Yeachel Mibzar Zevach Shlamav. Shtei achilot ha-katub midaber, echad achilat adam, echad achilat mizbeach. And that's the source for the fact that makshevet chutz limkamo, makshevet chutz lizmano, is only about achilat adam and achilat mizbeach. Mi basar zevach shlamav, that's the next words in Pesukim. He's going piece by piece to the pasuk and giving us the drasha. Ma shlamim mitpaglim umitpaglim. Just like shlamim can create pigol, and they also can't be subject to pigol. Afko mitfaglim umitfaglim. So too, anything that is similar to a korban shlamim that has something that can be mitfagel, can cause pigol, as well as it can't become pigol, they'll be subject to the din of pigol. So what's an exception to that? What is excluded by that? Rashi notes for us, which the Gemara will tell us in other places, that which is excluded from here is minchat kohanim, minchat kohen mashiach, Uminchat Nisachim. All of those minachot are matirim et atzmam. They are matir themselves, ve'ein ba'em shirayim lehitpagel. And they have nothing left over. What's unique about all those is they're kalil la'mizbeach. They go entirely on the mizbeach, and there is no matir. In a regular mincha, you separate away the komets, and then you have the shirayim, the leftovers of the mincha, that are eaten by the kohanim. Then you have an item that is the matir, by which you can generate the pigol, because the machshava has to be in the processing of the matir, the thing that goes to mizbeach, that's matir, the leftovers. And the leftovers are what become pigol. So by shlamim, it's the dam is the matir. So during the avodot adam, you can generate pigol. And the mitpaglim, that which becomes pigol, is the basar and the imurim, everything else of the animal that's left after the dam, that becomes pigol. By a mincha, that's true too. The komets is the equivalent of the dam. So the separating of the komets, and the being makdish the komets, and taking the komets, and putting on the mizbeach, are all equivalent, as we noted before, to the avodat adam. And therefore you can have makshavot pigul then. And what becomes pigul? The shirayim, the leftovers that the kohanim are going to eat. That's going to become pigul. But when you have certain menachot where they go entirely on the mizbeach, then there's no matir and residual to have them be pigul and mitpagel. And therefore they're going to be excluded from the world of pigul, because you can only have pigul by a matir. But these items are matir themselves. The matir itself is what ends up on the mizbeach. And therefore there's no matir with shirayim, and they're excluded from the parsha pigul based on this drush over here, like the zevach shlamav. Shlishi, the word shlishi, as we learned before, this is similar to Rabba's interpretation. That's a reference to machshevet chutz lizmano. Lo yeratzeh, keratzat basar, kasher, kein artzat pasul. Just the same way that you would process a kosher korban, that's the same way you have to process a pasul korban. Maratzat kasher, achi akrivu kol matirav. Just like when it comes to making an animal kasher, meaning that the residual will go on the mizbeach and then be eaten, also be eaten by the kohanim. That's when the matir, the process of the matir was done properly. The Avodat Adam was properly done. Afarzak Pasul, actually, your people call Matirav. Similarly, when it comes to Pigul, you have to have all the processes done properly. That's what we learned before, that when it comes to Makshevet Pigul, that can be the only problematic Makshava that you have. If there's any other Pasul in the Korban, then it fails and it doesn't become Pigul, doesn't get a Chiyub Karet. It only works when you have only thing that ruined the Korban was your Makshevet Chutz L'Zmano, the rest of it was done properly. And that's what it means, Lo Yiratzeh, means that it has to be Hartzah. There has to be that the Korban is brought properly, processed properly, with the exception of the Makshevet Chutz L'Zmano. That's because the Pasul has to look like a Kasher. A Makriv, Bakravahu Nifsal, Vein Nifsal Bishlishi. The time period in which the problem happens is at the time of Hakrava and not on the third day. This is the principle that we've been discussing until now, and the reason the Pasuk has to be speaking about Makshava is because at the time of Hakrava you have a problem. You can't have a problem 3 days later that disqualifies the Korban. It must be prior to the Hakravat Adam, or the placing of the Dam on the Mizbeach, that the problem happens. And that's what it means, that this psul that's found in this psul happens at the time of Akrava and not 3 days later. And that's how we know it's dealing with Makshava and not with the actual notar. Oto, bezevach hakatuv medaber, ve'enu medaber b'kohen. Hamakriv oto lo yechashev lo, that the oto means the item and not the kohen. The item that he had the Makshava about is invalid, becomes disqualified, and is no longer a good korban. And then subject to either being pasul or a chiyuv karet, depending on what the makshava was. But the kohen who makes the pigul, he himself does not become mifugal. He doesn't become disqualified or invalidated from being a kohen. The habamina is that he would also be made into pigul. The miut says, oto ve'eno mitaber b'kohen. And it's speaking about the zebach itself and not the kohen. Lo yechashev, lo yeraybo makshavot acherot. So here, Lo Yechashev tells you that you can't have any other problematic makshavot in this korban, with the exception of makshavet chutz l'zmano, in order for there to be a chiyuv karet associated with that. That we discussed in the Balei Tosfot yesterday, why we need this limud, as well as the other limud, to tell you that you can only have one makshava, and it can only be a makshavet pigul. Pigul, the word pigul that appears in the pasuk is zeh chutz l'mkomo. That's zeh chutz l'mkomo, similar to Rabba's interpretation before. Iyeh, Iyeh comes to teach you that a chatzik zayit of makshava chutz l'mkomo and a chatzik zayit of makshava chutz l'zmano are mitzdareif to be pusel the korban. You won't be chayav karet because you don't have a zayit worth of makshava chutz l'zmano, but you can be mitzdareif them. This is a very important line here. From here, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot, when discussing the mitzvah of pigul and chutz l'mkomo, says that they really are one problem. Makshevet chutz l'zmano and makshevet chutz l'mkomo are really one restriction and one isur. They are two manifestations of the same problem, which is having wrong makshava during the time of the processing of the korban, dealing with time and place. The only difference between them is their punishment. One is just pasul, and one of them is pasul v'yeshbo chiyuv karet. So, but you see that from here. Yeah, the fact that they can be mitzdareif shows you that they're really one entity, or they're really one issue. They just get bifurcated in terms of their manifestation, as well as their punishment. But in terms of their core or essence, they are the same avera, and that's what you learn here, shemitztarfim zeh mzeh. V'nefesh ha'ochelet mimenu, echad v'shloshnayim. One who eats mimenu, one of these two, will get karet. V'eza zeh, how do you know which one it is? Chutz l'zmano. It must be chutz l'zmano. The Gemara, avon, avon, minutar, de domi le bizav. Because you learn the gzeirah shava of avon, avon, from notar, which is similar to it, bizav. It has that commonality between it. Once you've done that, then the pasuk here makes more sense to be speaking about chutz l'zmano, that is chayav karet, which is common to notar, which is what the pasuk in Parashat Kedoshim and the source of karet is speaking about. Because if you made it that the chutz l'mkomo is chayav karet, it has no overlap with notar at all. And therefore the gzeirah shava would have been, according to Rashi, more problematic to make. Or, according to the Balei Tosafot, the fact that we have the gzeirah shava shows your influences what the nature of what is being said in Sukkim should be speaking about. And Rashi notes over here, v'had lo shanya rabba b'reish shmaita hachi. Why did the Gemara give this answer for Rabba in the beginning? How do you know which is which? So Rashi says, Enoch and Amin, they could have given that answer. But we didn't have Tana de Levi bar Zibde, the Karif and Notarktiv. We didn't have the Breita of Zibde bar Levi that taught us the Gzer Shava of Kodesh. Kodesh, that tells us that the Pasuk in Kedoshim was speaking about Notar. So you needed that information first in order to answer the problem. Once you have that information, you can answer Rabba's issue. And Rava is just really an expanded or more expansive view of what Rabba said before. But he now has in hand the limud of Zibdi bar Levi, which helps you because then you know you're speaking about Notar, and that brings the commonality of Chutz Lizmano. Now the Gemara says, Amalei Rapapa the Rava. So Rava's Talmud Rapapa asks him, L'didach, Shlishi de Pashek Doshim to you, my Darish Bey. According to your drasha, what do you do with the pasuk in Pashek Doshim? There it's speaking about Shlishi. You already got Makshevet Chutz Lizmano. You already got Makshevet Chutz Lizmano come out from the pasuk in Tzav. What are you going to do with the pasuk in Kedoshim? It says, "How mi bayle le makom shem mishulash badam ubasar ubeemurim." That is to teach you, in order to have a makshevet chutzlim komo, it has to be about a place that has these items between it, dam, basar, and emurim. The way Rashi explains it is, by the time of Heter Abamot, outside the Azara, then you could have eaten dam, basar, and emurim. They could all be processed over there. So chutz lim komo is only relevant to places where these three items all could have been done, or all have relevance to them. When you speak about kodshei kodeshim, that means outside the Azara. Because in Yerushalayim, all these items were mutar b'sman ha'bamot. You're talking about kodshim kalim, that's outside of Yerushalayim, because all these items were permitted outside of Yerushalayim during zman ha'bamot. And it comes to exclude the heichal, as Rashi notes over here, where it's not permitted. She says, "Lafuke heichal she'in bo akterat emurim v'lo achilat basar," because the heichal only has the matnot dam put there, but you don't put emurim on the mizbeach and don't bring them into the heichal. You also don't eat basar there. The Balei Tosafot point out that that's not true. The Gemara later on will tell you that there are times where the kohenim can eat basar inside of the heichal, so it's only emurim that are differentiated. But then the Balei Tosafot go on to say that the explanation of Rashi is very difficult, and therefore he offers a number of other solutions to what it means here, that has to be a makom that is mishulash, badam basar ubeimurim. So the first explanation is, v'yesh mefarshim de makom mishulash, haynu delo pasla machshava, ela b'mizbeach hachitzon. The machshava is only impactful in the mizbeach hachitzon, shushloshtam kisherim bo. Because all three of these items are relevant by the mizbeach hachitzon. You have dam that goes on there, you have basar that goes on there, you have emurim that go on it. That's the exclusion of mizbeach zahav, she'ain not nimbo rak dam. The only thing that goes on there is dam. The Balei Tosafot say, so he goes on to say that that can't be the explanation because the issue of matnot pnimiyot is a machloket Rabbi Shimon and Rabbonon as to whether you're chayav and pigol. And if that was the case, then this should be influential in determining whether it is or is not applicable to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. V'yesh mifarshim, so he brings another interpretation. The makom mishulash, haynu d'be'in en shia amod ha'machshava b'makom mishulash. It has to be in a place where you can stand up all three things. Prat, lomeid chutz v'azara v'shochet b'sakin. The person standing outside the azara and doing the shechita, which we know is kasher, because the shechita needs to be in the azara, not the shochet. So he's doing that, then his machshavat pigol would not be impactful, because he's not standing in a place which is relevant to all three items. The azara is relevant to the dam, the basar, and the emurim. Outside, the azara is only relevant to the basar, at least by kodshim kalim. But it's not relevant to dam and emurim, they're not allowed to leave the azara. So that would be to exclude that case. He says, "L'perzeh kasha mimatnot pnimiyot, d'lav mimatnot mishulashu." You have the same problem by the matnot pnimiyot, because that's also not a place that's considered to be makom mishulash, because it's only a place where dam goes, or maybe achilat basar, but it doesn't have a murim. So you have the same problem. So then he brings Harav Rabbeinu Yom Tov Mifaresh, the makom mishulash, haynu sheyachshov lizrok b'makom shel dam basar ve'murim psulim. He has to have in mind to do this in a place. The makom has to be a place which would disqualify all three items. Kegon, achshev lizrok kodeshim kalim chutz l'Yerushalayim. That's only true for Kodeshim Kalim, we have Makshava about outside of Yerushalayim, because otherwise the Basar is not an area that is Pasul. For Kodeshim Kodeshim, that means outside of the Azara, meaning even in Yerushalayim, because all three of them are Pasul there. He says, "Hi, Peirushnecha." This explanation has benefits to it or makes sense, but he does bring a question on it, and then brings the Yeshma Varshim. He brings a fourth answer or a fourth possibility, which is Yeshma Varshim the Shlishi bechutz lizmano ayri. Says that the Yom HaShlishi, the Shloshtam, is not talking about a makom, it's talking about the time. You have to have a machshevet echutz mizmano, which is problematic for all three items, basar, dam, and emurim. So that means that it can't be just tomorrow, because for shlamim, the basar is kasher tomorrow. In kodshim kodashim, generally there's an overlap between them, but in kodshim kalim, since you have an extra day in the shlamim to eat it, then chutz mizmano would only be after the second day, meaning on the third day, and not in the first 2 days. Even though Bdamin and Mirim would be pasul then, but since Basar is kasher during that period of time, you can't have it machshev chutz mizmano. So that means you have to afchel lochol basar al yom shlishi. Im kasher lizrok dam shlamim lamachar. If you have in mind to do the zrigat dam tomorrow, that won't be pigul, because it's not mishulash. It's not a time period which is not relevant, which is pasul for all three of these items. So you have four different ways the Baal Yom Tov suggests about learning what it means makom mishulash. Why don't you learn it out from the pasuk in Parshat Tzav? The word shlishi appears in Tzav, as well as appearing in Parshat Kiddushim. So why do you need the shlishi in Parshat Kiddushim? Because there the pasuk uses shlishi to describe machshevet chutz lizmano. So maybe you should learn it from there. I'm Rav Ashi. I'm reading to the Shmaita Kameh de Rav Matna. I stole over this whole memra in front of Rav Matna. Believe me, Ima Hatam. If you learn it out of Parshat Tzav, Havamina Shlishi, Prat, Pigul, Klau, then I would have thought Shlishi is a detail, Pigul is a Klau, Nase Klau Mosif ala Prat, Vidrabu Shar Mekomot. And then it would include other things, because if Shlishi is a limitation, and then you have Pigul afterwards, which then expands on it, you have a Pratu Klau, and a Pratu Klau expands on the Prat and says that everything is fine. Kamash Milan, that we don't do that, and we only use Shlishi from Parshat Kiddushim, where you don't have that problem. And based on that, you have a Makom that is Ra'oi L'Shalosh. That's what Rava does with the Shlishi from Parshat Kiddushim, and why he doesn't learn it out of the Shlishi that is found in Parshat Tzav. Alright, we're going to stop here, 13 lines down, on the top of Chavtet Amud Aleph.